Hey guys, welcome back to my show. Today's episode, I have a really special guest with us today. His name is Patrick Davis, and he is a singer-songwriter. He has written for many artists like Morgan Wallen and Lady A and many other artists. He also has his own solo career where he sings songs like L-O-V-E, which he's written by himself, and he has sung many other songs too. So, hi Patrick. Thank you so much for being on the show.
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm so happy that you could be on the show today. Could you please introduce yourself and maybe sing a line from your latest song?
Yeah, okay, all right. Well, my name is Patrick Davis. I grew up in South Carolina. I've lived in Nashville for the past 20 years or so. I love writing songs, playing music, and being busy. And my latest song, Long As You Love Me, like your favorite song, like you love your whiskey strong, like your daddy loves your mama loves your daddy, and a granny loves a Sunday morning. Love me like a honeybee, loves the summertime in Tennessee, like a farmer loves the rain and muddy waters, loves the blues. L-O-V-E, love, let it do what it do.
That's amazing. Thank you. Everyone out there listening to this episode right now, I'll be linking Patrick's links, social links, and all of those things. So feel free to check out his music. And this song is L-O-V-E. So do check out this song too. And it's on Spotify and all streaming platforms. So our first question for you is, how do you decide on the theme of a new song?
I think any songwriter is kind of always searching for the next song. Our ears are always open. Our eyes are always watching what's going on around us, searching for inspiration. And so, you know, the theme for the next song, it comes out of the universe. We don't really know where exactly it comes from, but we have to always be willing to kind of accept that at any moment an idea may happen. So that's, I'm just always looking for something that might be worth trying to write about.
Yeah, I think, like, again, as you said, that's pretty true, because I too am a singer-songwriter, and so I write my own songs. So, like, what I do is, for me, my best ideas come when I'm asleep. I don't know what's up with that. So, like, I try to keep, like, a journal or something next to me, like my phone or something, so that if I do end up waking up, I can actually note it down so I do not forget.
Yeah, that's very smart.
Yeah, because I think the thing with ideas is that since your brain is the most active when you're asleep, you have a bunch of ideas running through your brain, like maybe dreams and things like that. And so I think, like, just the idea of, like, just putting it up into, like, a place where you can attain it, and the next morning you can actually use it, I think it's a really good tool.
Yeah, I've heard many very famous musicians and songwriters talk about ideas that came to them, you know, right when they woke up, or maybe in the middle of the night. And I do know a number of folks that do keep, and I've done the same thing. You know, you basically jump out of bed and you roll over and you make sure that you have your phone and you put it in your notes section. You know, back in the day, I think we used to write them down, but not so much anymore. But yeah, you know, Paul McCartney is probably the most famous story about that, is he wrote Yesterday. When he woke up in the morning, he had that melody and he didn't know where it came from. He thought it was something he'd heard before, but he woke up with that melody in his head, and he had the entire song, at least the musical portion of it, written in his sleep. So I think it's important. And he jumped out of bed and he sat down instantly and did that before he forgot it, because that's what happens. You know, we always think, as you know, as a songwriter, that you're going to remember what you're like, oh, this is great, I'll remember it in the morning. And in the morning, you have no idea what it was.
Yeah, that's actually really true. I think, like, the best ideas often come, like, randomly. So I think just, like, you cannot remember exactly what you, like, you may remember gist of it, but you won't remember the full idea. Like, for a melody is just a one-time thing. You got to record it the moment it comes to your head, or, like, record it, like, maybe a few seconds later, because come the next morning, you would not remember even a part of it, because the melody is kind of, like, you know, flowing, and breaking it into parts kind of, like, diminishes the whole property.
Yes, 100%. You have to, here in Nashville, when you're writing, a lot of us will just hit record on our whatever device we're recording. If we're in the studio, it could be Pro Tools, or it could be Logic, or it could be just, you know, your MacBook or your phone. But always record, because chances are you're going to sing something or say something, and then like a few seconds later, you're going to be like, you're going to sing it or say it again, and it's not going to be the exact thing that you did, if you know, even just 15 seconds earlier. So it's always great to have that, that library that you can go visit and go, oh man, okay, that's what it was. So I would say for any aspiring or young writers or any old writers out there that haven't done that before, it's so valuable to have recordings of even just your ideas as you are putting them down, because then you can go back and say, what was that? I think I said it differently, you know.
Yeah, I think that's really true. I think like just like obviously like you can't keep yourself and record every single moment of your life. That's kind of strange to do. But I mean, just like whenever you're sitting down to songwrite or sing, you can just keep your phone record. Just like open up voice memos, like record full, like your full songwriting sessions. So that if you let's just say like you're saying like L-O-V-E, right? Let's take that for example. Like you could have said it a different way. Maybe your verses were different, or maybe your melody was different. So
yeah.
That comes to my next question. How do you experiment with your songs? Like, do you, like, kind of, like, make changes to it as you go? Or do you just sing whatever comes from your heart?
I think you have to edit constantly when it comes to... I mean, there are a few songs... I've written thousands of songs, probably. There's a few songs that have happened very, very quickly. Like, you know, in 20 or 30 minutes, the entire song has been written, and I haven't changed it much since then. But for the most part, I kind of stick to the rules of the old singer-songwriter Paul Simon said. He said, great songs aren't written, they're rewritten. And I kind of always fall back on that, because you really do have to hone in on, you know, you'll get the idea. I think it's important to capture the magic, you know, as it comes out. But you then have to come back to that and go back through it. You don't want to stop yourself from being creative. So you don't want to get stuck on a line, or you don't want to get stuck. You can just kind of just put down whatever's, like for that example of Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney didn't have words to yesterday, and he was walking around the house singing scrambled eggs, because that was what they were having for breakfast. So, you know, something that keeps the momentum moving forward is very important. So for me personally, you know, once you get started, it's okay to go back and recognize, even it could be 6 minutes or 6 years later, if you're still, you know, trying to make it as good as it can be, you can say, hey, that line right there is not as good as it should be, or that melody should do this instead of that, or especially in the studio. In the studio, you have the ability to really go in and craft. That's the reason why a lot of albums, especially the classic albums that folks think about, where it could be, I don't know, it could be Marvin Gaye, What's Going On. I mean, it could be U2, all these old classic albums. They took a long time to make, because they were constantly trying to be not just creative, but also being concise and exact with what they were trying to put out into the world. And that means that you have to edit. That means you have to make mistakes, and then you have to fix those mistakes.
Yeah, I think like what you said is really true. I think like just like editing is like often a thing, like not just writing, but I think anything. It's like when you try to constantly correct your mistakes, they're always going to be mistakes. So like there's never going to be a concise like end point. It's just going to be like, you could, for all we know, you could edit for 20 years, 50 years,
yes,
for like the rest of your life, honestly. And like the time you know that this is like, okay, this is good enough, not good enough, but rather the best it can be, that's no such thing, because the best is not possible, because you would have to like be alive for so long just to like work on that one thing. Like if someone was like, you know, had no end, like they had unlimited lifelines, even then I think even out of 5 lifelines or 6 lifelines, they would still want to work on it, because there's no end to how much you can work on one song.
Yeah, you have to kind of, you know, as I say, editing is important. There is a point where you know, the imperfections are what kind of make it perfect too, you know, that's life, yeah. You know, so you don't necessarily need it to be. I think one thing that's happened with music because of technology, you know, we have so many gadgets at our disposal now that sometimes we take the life out of a creation. And so you don't want to do that with music. You know, the best music still sounds human. It still sounds, it's real. It's not necessarily absolutely perfect. It's okay if it's a little, under pitch. It's okay if it's a little out. There's certain places where it's all right if the tempo moves a little bit. And that's a hard lesson for people to learn because, and I think that depends on what kind of music. If you guys are, if anyone out there is, you know, in the pop world or, well, you know, all that's, it's got to be exact quantized. It's a certain thing. It's dance music. It's kind of hard to do that. But in my music, you know, if you're talking about like, you know, more Americana or, I don't know, singer-songwriter blues world, you know, it's okay to be human. That's what makes us all special. So we don't want to sound just like everybody else. So you do have to get to a point where you want to be great, but you have to kind of just be like, all right, this is okay. Now I can let this go. It can go out into the world, because you're right. You're absolutely correct. You can edit it till it's, you know, it's the page is just ripped apart, and that you lose the beauty of that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you, because the thing is, with like when you're editing, like, okay, you can edit it again, as I said earlier, you can edit it how much ever you want, but the thing is, you're gonna lose like the key aspect of your song, like your song LOVE. Right now, it's about like what you think about love. But then when you edit it so much, it would honestly just turn into a hot mess, because like then you're losing the true essence as to what you wrote in the start, like in the beginning, before you edited anything. You would often like forget, and also if like you're doing it on paper, especially, you'll make so many cross marks and sing, and you would like lose your original copy, which I think that comes to my next point, which is that I think personally, you can give your own perspective on this, but for me, what I do is I actually do it digitally. So I keep a digital copy as well as a paper copy of my songs. So like if I make any changes to my digital and I can't back them up, I still have a paper copy in hand. So what do you do? Like, what do you think of the situation where like you lose your stuff? How do you back them up?
Well, I think it's very important to make sure you have, we've heard those nightmare stories of people's, kind of lives being taken, you know, they have a suitcase that gets stolen or they get lost or, you know, just notebooks full of things. So for me personally, I always have, you know, we have the work tape, that's what we call it, you know, kind of the initial idea when we sit down or I'm writing a song, and maybe it's me and a friend, we're sitting down and when we work on it. And then at the end of that, you know, session during that day, we'll sit down and just with acoustic guitars or piano or whatever that might be, and just record it on our phone just so we have something. And then, you know, then you have hopefully you've written down the lyrics in your, you know, in your computer, and then maybe you can back that up. You can put that on Dropbox, you can put it on, you know, the cloud somewhere. And then I also, every now and then, I used to write, handwrite everything down. I don't necessarily do it as much anymore. But I do find that to be very valuable when I perform a lot. So it's good for me. You know, they say that if you write something down or if you read it, you know, it's going to stick with you more than if you just like heard it or if you just see it on a page when it comes to lyrics and things like that. So I like to write the lyrics down, handwrite them, which allows me to really remember them more so than if I just type them out. And then I like to read those versus just listening to a recording of that, because that also helps, stick with you. So I try my best to have numerous ways that I am not going to forget what I've written or what I've put down. You know what? Guess what? We're all human, and I still do forget things, and I've still lost plenty of things, as I'm sure we all have. But yeah, the good news is now in today's world, I think you just have to have, you know, backup drives to your backup drive.
Yeah, I think what you said, like, now that the technology is kind of advanced, like, we have AI music now. I did a whole episode on that recently where I talked about how AI music is bad. That's just my personal opinion, but like, I think like, you know, AI and technology, like new stuff like Instagram and things, I mean, that has been out here for a while, but like, you know, those things kind of have helped you. So like anything you put on social media is technically there forever. Even after deleting it, you still have it in your archives. And I think that kind of helps you. But at the same time, it could probably like, you know, change things for like the future. Like right now we have AI music. So what are your thoughts on that? Do you think AI music could potentially like take out the whole Americana section? or do you think it'll still stay? Because with AI, it kind of is just like a robot, basically, right? It's just singing songs with no soul, because it's just like, you know, pulling out lyrics from certain songs that's technically not even original. So what are your thoughts on this?
I think that AI is going to be a big part of our world for the rest of our lives, and probably long, long past that. So I definitely believe there will probably be uses for it, and even in music. You know, I think when it comes to, you know, I brought it before, but, you know, dance and pop music, some of that stuff is kind of already programmed already. It doesn't mean that it's going to take away the human element that's needed to make it work, but I can see it working in some types of music over others. Like, I don't necessarily believe that you're going to be able to, I don't know if AI will be able to replicate, you know, the dark, moody songs of a, you know, of a singer-songwriter, you know, in a coffee house that's, you know, a dark, moody 19-year-old girl. It's still gonna probably be better than any AI version of that. And, you know, same thing, like, I don't think the Foo Fighters are ever gonna have to worry about AI taking their job, you know?
I think that's,
so I do believe there will be places where AI, I mean, you know, AI is extraordinarily, it's a beautiful invention when you think about, for example, the Beatles. I brought up Paul McCartney earlier, but the Beatles documentary that was on Disney this past year, that documentary only happened because there's an AI technology now that can go through old recordings, you know, recordings where, like you talk about, stuff being lost, where there are no tapes of this anymore. All we have is a recording that we hear on the radio. So let's say, I don't know, Johnny B. Goode, everybody knows that song, I guess, you know, the old Chuck Berry song. That song was from like 1955, maybe. And perhaps, I don't know this, but maybe the tapes of that session are gone. So you would assume that there's no way to go back in and mix that session today and make it sound better, because the tapes are gone. You just say, well, here's the recording that we have of it that we play on the radio or on, you know, Sirius XM or on, you know, Instagram, whatever. So you would think you couldn't make that any better. You think that would be lost to time. Well, AI has now come about where it can actually go in, listen to that recording, just what you hear on the radio, and pick out every single instrument individually, mute everything else. If you just want to hear the vocal, everything else will go away and it'll only find the vocal. If you want to hear the drums, it'll only find the drums, which is incredible. So those things are so phenomenal. I think that that's so important to us keeping around the old music. It's so important to us learning more about music, and that's what we all want to do. So I do believe AI will be a valuable piece of the music industry for a long time, but I think it's going to be individual. Like, it's not going to matter so much in Americana. It's going to matter a lot in pop. It's not going to matter so much in, you know, in the blues world. It's going to matter a lot in, you know, dance clubs, dance mixes. So I think it's kind of going to be give and take. I'm not too worried about it in our world when it comes to writing songs and things like that. I don't think that's really going to matter all that much. I will say that I think, like, I have nephews and nieces and nephews that go to, you know, they go to clubs and they dance all night. AI could probably do that. Like, that's not going to be that hard. They could figure out what the, you know, the BPMs are, and they could figure out what, you know, when they need to make people scream and when they go down. And so I would be worried if I was in that world, for sure. But that's kind of how the world works. So
yeah, that actually makes sense. I mean, for me personally, like, I'm in a mix of both worlds. So, like, I write country music too sometimes, but I do not really. The thing with country actually is there's no set definition. You do not. People often say you have to be from the southern side of the U.S. to be called a country singer. But I think it's just like anything you sing from the soul or anything that has a meaning to you or has a story behind it can be considered country. It doesn't even have to be about a country, right? What are your thoughts on this? I know, like, you're a country singer songwriter, so.
Yeah, I didn't grow up listening to country music. I still don't listen to country music. I just, I like writing songs. And so I like storytelling. And I kind of bought into the idea that if I moved from South Carolina to Nashville, even though I didn't grow up on country music, that the people that I personally liked were more rock and roll storytellers. So it was Bruce Springsteen and Tom Petty and those types of folks. And what I would say is, I recognize kind of what you said. I was like, I don't necessarily have to, I can change a few things here. As long as they're story songs, I can make this work in Nashville. And it has worked pretty well for me. But yeah, I think that you don't necessarily have to be from the South. I don't think you have to be, grow up on a farm. I think if you love stories, unfortunately, in today's country genre, a lot of the stories, I think the old country music that people think about, like Johnny Cash, and Merle Haggard, Willie Nelson, Patsy Cline, those guys were like more stories that were geared towards adults and were geared towards really deep storytelling. I think now it's definitely geared a little more towards kids, a little more lighter, generic type of storylines. So I think that if you're trying to write songs and you want to write like real stories and real songs, I think that that still can be considered country, but I think it's probably going to be kind of closer to the Americana world, the Americana country world, than country music on today's radio. There's still some moments, but I think that the real storytelling, the stuff that really like moves you as a human, and that's farther and farther from today's radio. So I think if you want to be a songwriter and you want to write some country songs, you got to decide on whether or not you want to be on the radio or you want to write songs that are going to last forever. So, you know, usually not the same thing.
Yeah, that actually is quite insightful, because I never actually thought about it that way. So I guess, yeah, I do write Americana then. But I think putting myself into a box is probably not what I'm doing right now. I'm just kind of exploring my sound, see where it takes me. I've written a bunch of, it's like my Google Keep app is like all over the place. It has like songs that are like pop songs. I have folk songs in there. I have a few Americana songs, jazz songs, like they're everywhere. So I'm kind of like just, you know, exploring my sound. Thank you so much for being on the show. I really enjoyed talking to you and learned so much, like, you know, the whole AI conversation we had. I really enjoyed that, because I never actually thought about that, and I think it's a really cool thing to look into. And yeah
for sure. Well, great. Well, good luck with all the writing, and just, you know, the thing is, write until you figure out what it is you really love to do. And it's okay to be, just being creative is wonderful. And then pick one of those genres you're after, and then see what happens.
Starts our conversation with Patrick Davis. I hope you enjoyed and continue to support him on his musical journey. Stay tuned for new episodes every week.